Hello, and welcome to the MS for Mama podcast. I'm your host, Abby Halberstadt, happy wife, mama to 10, Bible-believing Christian. And if you're watching today's episode, you'll notice the background is a little bit different. We had to do some switching around because of some work that's being done at our house. You guys didn't need to have to listen to saws and sanders in the background as we finally have our kitchen cabinets going in after almost 4 months of having a flooded downstairs that we have been renovating. So that's exciting news. I also wanted to talk to you guys again today about our new sponsor, Milk and Honey Jewelry. They create such a fun product for nursing mamas or mamas of young children who are feeding them formula. You can take that breast milk or that formula and you can create something truly beautiful and unique as a keepsake of that time with your baby. Their jewelry is gorgeous, and you can also get your own DIY kit. If you order that kit by December 15th, you'll get it in time for Christmas for you or a friend. If you want to give them a unique gift, it only takes about 5 milliliters or a teaspoon of breast milk or formula to make your beautiful jewelry. And you can use the code Abby for 15% off. You can find all of their gorgeous designs at www.milkandhoney.jewelry. Okay, guys, we're going there. We are going into the wild, wild woods of the Santa debate. And while I say that in kind of a scintillating way, what I really want to share with you today is just a way of approaching the Santa Claus dilemma conversation, however your view of it is, from a biblical perspective, because that's always going to be the standard by which I'm judging what the culture tells us to do, what our parents tell us to do, what our friends tell us to do, even what our children want us to do. And so I wanted to address this issue because I get asked about it about this time every single year. The first question, of course, is, do you guys quote unquote do Santa? And then the next question is the follow-up is why or why not? So I'll give you a little bit of a personal background and kind of tell you what we do. Remember, as I always remind you, the goal is not to do things the way our family does them. The goal is to do things in a way that honors God, just like it talks about in the Bible, that everything we say or do, whether we eat or drink or do Santa or don't do Santa or whatever, that we do it all for the glory of God. And so that is my goal. That's my purpose here in encouraging you guys and in preaching to myself each week. So the short, very short answer, and you know, I won't stay with just the short answer because that's not how we roll around here, is that no, we do not quote unquote do Santa. And part of that comes from my own upbringing. My parents chose in many ways, and I've talked about this before when my mom was on the podcast, when I've talked a little bit, and if you've read my book, Heart Is Not the Same Thing as Bad, you know that I dedicated it to my parents and said, thank you for being chain breakers to them, because they really chose to do some things very differently than their forefathers did. And I really do think that both of them came from families that chose to do things in a very quote unquote traditional way. Now, when I say that, I mean in a conventional way, in keeping with the conventions that culture was dictating to them, rather than a traditional way in the sense that they followed good, wholesome traditions, because both of my parents' backgrounds were pretty messed up. They had some abuse in there. They had some neglect. They definitely had parents who had a lot of baggage of their own that they were steadily funneling down into my parents as well. And my parents have made very conscious, concerted efforts to offload that baggage as much as possible. Are they perfect? Absolutely not. Am I perfect? Absolutely not. Is anybody perfect except Jesus Christ? Absolutely not. However, I do appreciate that they took the time to step back and not just keep going with something because it's what had been done in their home, but instead to shine the light of scripture on it and say, does this line up with what we're trying to engender on our own children, with the ways that we're trying to create a family culture for us? And for them, the answer for Santa was no, this doesn't align with what we're trying to get away from. And there were some very concrete reasons behind that. One of them is something that you've probably heard as an argument against Santa many times, but I'll just share my mom's experience since she shared it with me. She was that child who was very black and white, very literal. I mean, my mom has nuance. She understands figurative language. She has an English degree, for the love. But she was an earnest child who sought truth and goodness as much as we are capable in our fallen sin nature. I really feel like my mom is kind of what a lot of people in the world will call a good person. Now, she will be the first person to acknowledge that she desperately needs Jesus and that she has faults and that she has been sanctified through many hard things in her life to be more like Christ and to grow and mature. And I'm grateful for knowing that to be true, because it would be really hard to have a saint in the sense of a perfect person or a seemingly perfect person for a mother. You would never be able to measure up. So I appreciate that my mom shares her faults with me and shares the growth that the Lord has brought in her life. However, just that kind of straight arrow personality, that justice loving, fairness loving, right and wrong, black and white, that's her natural personality. That's what God gifted her with. And so growing up being told that Santa was real, she believed it deep down in her soul. And she really did put it on the same level as other truths that were given to her, like that Jesus is her Messiah, that Jesus is God, that there is such a thing as absolute right and wrong. And so when she was told these kind of moral mandates, Santa was lumped in with those things, whether he should have been or not, it was the truth for her in her brain. So I don't think that that bubble was popped for her until she was about 9 years old, which I think is a pretty common age for kids to really start to grasp that this kind of this fantasy or this fun tradition or this, for some people it's pretty hardcore, kind of this devotion to this myth is not actually in line with reality. And I don't remember the exact way that she described that it came about, but I do know that she described herself as being very disillusioned, very disappointed, very shocked that someone, her parents specifically, and her aunts and uncles and her cousins, like her whole family, was in on a lie is how she felt. Now, if that's not your personality, if that's not your personal lived experience, that may feel really dramatic. But I think we do have to take into account that there are a pretty good chunk of kids that are going to take us very literally. They're going to take what we say in as truth. I'm going to do a whole podcast on this, actually, but there's a lot of scientific evidence to back up the fact that our kids will view the person or group of people who give them information for the first time and as the introduction to that information as the experts on that topic. And so for parents to introduce this idea of Santa as not just a fun game or something that we can do to, how have I had it described to me, to enhance the quote unquote magic of Christmas or something, but as an absolute real fact that this man does exist, that they go to great lengths to perpetuate the idea that it's Santa bringing the gifts, that Santa ate the milk and cookies and, you know, drank the milk and ate the cookies, all those things. I think we have to take into account that when there's that devotion to the myth, that there are going to be some children who are, I don't know if traumatized is too strong a term, or at the very least shaken in their faith and their trust in our veracity and our truthfulness to them. So that was one big deciding factor in my parents not wanting to focus on Santa, or even not wanting to sort of kind of imply to us that he was a real character. Now, if you're saying Santa Claus was a real character, what about Jolly Old Saint Nick, meaning Saint Nicholas, the actual historical Greek character, figure in the church, became a saint within the Catholic Church? Yes, absolutely. There is a true historical figure. And I think that it's a great opportunity to talk about generosity, to talk about kindness. I'll read you a little clip or a little excerpt from this article in the Washington Examiner talking about Saint Nicholas. This is actually paraphrased from some information from National Geographic, which I find interesting because you're talking about a completely secular source who is highlighting these facts about who Saint Nicholas really was. He was originally a Greek born in the late 3rd century, around 280 AD. He became bishop of Myra, a small Roman town in modern Turkey. Nicholas was neither fat nor jolly, but developed a reputation as a fiery, wiry, and defiant defender of church doctrine during the Great Persecution of 303, when Bibles were burned and priests made to renounce Christianity or face execution. Later, he became known as the patron saint of children because of the stories about him giving gold to people in need, particularly the time when he gave money to an indebted father for his 3 daughters' dowries. The man, as legend, spread throughout Europe, especially taking hold in Germany, Russia, and Scandinavia. When people began to flock to America, kids and families from Norway brought Sinterklaas with them to the New World colonies. Okay, so That's just a little piece of history for you. Probably you're already familiar with that story about his providing the money for those daughters' dowries. And I've heard different tweaks on why he became associated with chimneys and gifts and all of these things. But really, as so often happens, with a little kernel of truth that flowers into something much more elaborate, people have just added on and painted new layers, and different cultures have different themes that surround Santa. And listen, the main thing you will not hear me say in this episode is that if you quote unquote do Santa Claus with your children, then you can't be a good Christian, or you are just a liar, or you desire for your children to have no faith in other things that you tell them. You're not going to hear me say that I think you are essentially morally wrong or anything like that. But instead, I am going to say, what is the best practice? Could Santa Claus or some version of Santa Claus be included in that best practice and still be glorifying to God? And some of you are probably already nodding your heads and saying, of course he can. And we are already doing that. And we incorporate Santa in a way that glorifies God, and we feel no moral compunction about this. We don't have any conviction over this, and we are not, we're not looking for a new way. And that is between you and God. And I am grateful for people that are able to stand on their principles and back them up with the word of God. So I'm just giving you the perspective that it is possible. Because I know, okay, so let me just back up a little bit. I'll finish that sentence, but let me back up a little bit and say that in my particular community here in East Texas, in the church that we go to, which is a Reformed Baptist church, it's actually, I would say, more unusual to focus on Santa Claus than it is to kind of eschew with the myth completely. And some people will be completely relating to that and saying like, yeah, I don't even know why this is a big deal. Our community doesn't even do Santa Claus. But I think it's important to consider the DMs that I get where people feel extremely pressured to celebrate. They feel like they are going to disappoint their family members. They feel like they are going to rob their children of an experience that other children are getting, and that their Christmas will be the poorer for it. And I think the biblical precept that we have to come back to in that case is that we are to fear God, not man. And I know that concept of what can man do to me, and that we're supposed to fear people who can hurt the soul rather than the body, sounds really intense when we're talking about Santa Claus. But I think it's important here that if we are having doubts, if we are getting those niggling convictions, if we are really uncomfortable with this tradition, and we look at it and we back up from it and say, you know, I don't know if I want to keep doing this with my family, that it's important to cling to that and to turn to Jesus and say, what should that practically look like for our family? Instead of my mom's going to be really mad, my cousin's going to be really disappointed, we're going to be the black sheep of the family. We're going to be the odd people out that ruin the fun for everyone else. And on that note, people often ask me, if you don't do Santa and you aren't focusing on that with your children, and they know that St. Nicholas was real, and you go over the history with them, but you explain the difference between kind of the man and the myth, then how do you keep them from ruining it? I'm putting air quotes around that for other children who do believe. And I have two thoughts on that. One, we do tell them that it is not their job to go around blasting the world with Santa's not real or Santa's dead or something like that. Because, you know, St. Nicholas is dead. So that would be an actual fact. But the Santa that people are referring to usually is the myth, not the original man. So saying that Santa is dead, the myth is dead, is obviously going to be a really shocking statement for a small child who believes that Santa Claus brings their presents and comes down the chimney and eats the milk and cookies. So we're careful to say that it is not their job to go around making sure that they correct people, that it is those mamas and daddies' jobs to decide on the traditions that they choose to do in their families for Christmas, and that it is up to them to teach their children what they want to about St. Nicholas or Santa Claus. And it's up to them to decide when their children need to have kind of that layer peeled away and have it revealed to them that St. Nicholas is the real man and Santa Claus is the fun game or the make-believe. Or like I said, it just kind of depends on how far you've gone with the tradition, because some people really commit to it. So on the one hand, that's my first answer. we caution them against going around and making sure that they put out people's fires of joy with Santa Claus. That's not their job. On the other hand, though, and on the flip side, I think it's important that we don't convey to our children that it is their job to make sure that a myth is perpetuated, that they know to be untrue. So let me restate that. It is not my children's job to make sure that somebody else believes in a fantasy. You can argue, and I know I just stepped on some toes there by calling it a fantasy. I mean, I don't think anyone thinks that it's real, but you're saying, well, it's not a fantasy. That makes it, that's a negative twist. It's just something fun. You can definitely make a really strong argument for doing Santa at Christmas being a fun tradition, I think. However, you can't make a strong argument, of course, for it being reality. And so I am going to be really careful about treading that line of, it's not your job to go around disillusioning every single person that something they believe might not be true. However, it's also not your job to make sure they believe something that you know not to be true is true, or that they think it is. So I could give you an example. If you're a non-believer listening, or someone who is antagonistic to Christianity, you might say, well, you know, you teach your children that Jesus Christ is God and that he died on the cross and that he rose again from the dead. And I think that's a fantasy. You know, do you want me to not tell your children that that didn't happen? And to which I'm going to tell them, I actually believe that it is my job to teach God's truth to my children as per Deuteronomy 6:6-8, to impress upon them God's law and his goodness and his ways. And one of those truths is going to be found in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that's going to be Jesus. That's who that's referring to. So yes, we are going to learn that in our home. But I am in no way going to tell you that you have no right to tell my children that you disagree with that truth, that you don't believe that that's true, and that you don't think that they should believe it. I'm not going to say that you can't say that. Now, I am not equating that Jesus is God with Santa Claus is real. I'm not. But I'm saying, even from, if you flipped it around and made it this antagonistic thing where someone is coming after my children and trying to explain to them why Christianity isn't real, I'm still not going to say, if it's a complete stranger, I am going to say, please, you know, don't come and talk to my children right now about any concept if I don't know them and they're a stranger and I don't know what level of threat they are to my children. So let's just establish that. But I'm not going to say, oh, you can't tell my children there are other belief systems out there. You can't tell my children that you disagree with them. You can't tell my children that they're wrong, or tell me that I'm wrong. I don't think that our lot in life is to make sure that we go through life never being challenged in our belief systems. Instead, it is to take our belief systems and again, shine on them the truth and the light of God's word and say, do these stand up to that truth and that light? Are these right and good and steadfast when you listen to the Holy Spirit speaking to you through God's word and his nudging in your soul and that conviction that you feel about right and wrong? That again aligns with scripture, because I'm definitely not talking about the kind of conviction where you're just kind of like, I feel like this today, or I feel like this tomorrow. James 1:6 talks about that when we doubt God, meaning that we truly are in kind of the Eve mindset of, did God really say, is God who he really says he is? I don't know. I think I know better. That kind of doubt makes us like a wave that's tossed to and fro by the wind. So I'm not saying some sort of emotional response like that. But when we have that deep down in our gut conviction that aligns with scripture, that this is not for me, just like it says in the Bible, or this is for me. It says in scripture that he who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, for that person it is sin. So I really think that what I'm ultimately doing is encouraging you to examine your family traditions in light of scripture and say, do these align? In the case of my mom and my dad, they looked at what they had been taught about Santa Claus and they found that it had not served them personally. Well, my dad wasn't affected the way that my mom was. He just kind of, either way, didn't ever really believe it. Wasn't into it, I don't think. And so then in that case, if that didn't serve us well, how do we want to serve our children well? And my family definitely swung the other direction. So my dad is a bit of a Christmas Scrooge. Like, he doesn't really get into celebrating Christmas. And my mom does enjoy it more and likes to do festive things. And, but the focus was always on the Messiah. I actually lived in Israel for a little while. My brother was born there. I've told you guys that before. And so our family has had very messianic leanings in many ways for years. And so the focus is always on the promised Messiah, the fact that scripture as a whole canon points to the truth that Jesus is coming. And when he arrives, he is the savior of the world and he takes away the debt of our sin. It's the gospel encapsulated and beautified by the joy that we feel at the coming of the Messiah as a tiny baby. And so that was always the focus. I think there can be some other issues with Santa Claus that can emerge, especially in American culture, which can be very materialistic. I hear from readers all around the world, and quite a few of them tell me that even when they do celebrate Santa to some extent, or at least acknowledge him, it is in a much more, it is a much calmer version than what's done in the US. It's not nearly as materialistic. It's not nearly as me focused. It's not held over their heads in the way that we say to children, you know, you better not pout, you better not cry, you better not shout, I'm telling you why, you know, this mythical figure is going to come and he's going to give you a lump of coal and you're not going to get the things you want. And so I've had people from Europe, from Australia who say, you know, this is really not as big of a thing for us. And it seems to be that the focus is on the gifts and on making the lists and less on even just a mythical version of this man who was full of generosity and apparently great verve and vigor for God's truth and for his theology, even more so than for some of the things that Santa Claus is associated with now. And so we have some other problematic things that I think we have to take into account when we're deciding as a family culture where we want to go with this. So my encouragement is to you is, of course, line it up with scripture. Does it align with who God says he is? Is it glorifying to him? Can you incorporate it without making it the focus of scripture? Are you being truthful with your children if you do choose to celebrate Santa by letting them know that this is a fun game that we play, but it's not real. This is not a real person. Because I think there is some actual danger in insisting to someone, your children specifically, that this person is exactly who we say he is, but then kind of pulling that rug out at some point. Oh, you're old enough to know now. We were just kidding, you know, just kidding. But don't tell anybody else. So there's that aspect. And then we have to talk about the materialistic aspect and say, are we using this as a way of either consciously or subconsciously? I'm assuming it would be subconsciously, because I don't think any of us would say that our goal is to make our children more materialistic, more me focused, less generous, and less others focused, right? I don't think any of us are wanting to go there. But we have to honestly ask ourselves, is the way that we're approaching Santa somehow latently actually accomplishing that? And then what should we do about it if that's the case? And then the third thing I think that I want to touch on, and this isn't going to, I'm not going to belabor this. It's not going to be a really long podcast, but I think I want to point this out. And that is this concept that's attributed to John Calvin. I've seen it quoted elsewhere, but that the human heart is a perpetual idol factory. We are always tending to do what it talks about in Romans 1, where we are worshiping the creation rather than the creator. We do tend to focus on self, on created things, on nature, on things that we have created, actual physical idols, you know, cars, and in the case of, you know, Aaron in the Old Testament, an actual physical golden calf, you know, whatever it is, if it's really obvious idol or something that's a tradition that we don't want to let go of, that maybe we've made an idol in our heart, we're really good at losing the focus of our Savior and making the focus on ourselves in some way, shape, or form. And so a friend of mine was sharing about this concept and sharing about the fact that they don't freak out about Santa. Neither do we. Neither did my parents. It's not like we avoided all mention of him or gasped and hit our faces in a pillow if we saw a poster of him or refused to watch any movies that referenced him or anything like that. Instead, it was, this is the truth historically. Here's what some people do. here's how we're trying to honor God in this. Here's how we're being flexible and being considerate of others without compromising truth. And then we kind of just let it go. So we didn't focus a ton. I didn't feel like I was missing out because I hadn't had something built up in my head that there was a huge thing to miss out on, if that makes sense. And so my friend was sharing about kind of doing something similar, taking a low-key approach, but a truthful approach, but also not a let's rain on everybody else's parade approach. And let's let everybody have the conviction from the Lord for themselves approach. And quite a few people were going crazy in her comments and saying that she was ruining the magic of Christmas. One particularly indignant person was saying that she was the reason why people didn't like Christians, because we ruin everything and we're no fun. And we can't just play along. Why can't we just go along to get along? And it was just a really angry comment. And you can't obviously judge any particular people group by one really angry comment. But at the same time, when really angry comments judge a particular people group, you have to take into consideration that there's probably more behind it, thinking the same thing. And here's the deal. If we have created in our hearts the idol of the magic of Christmas, if we are chasing after a feeling or an experience more than we are pursuing our Savior, we've got a problem. So while that person that left that comment that was angry might not have even been a believer, I don't know either way, it did sound like they were, considering they were kind of lumping all Christians together as killjoys and just mean and down on everything fun. Even if we claim Christ, if we feel threatened by the concept that a fun tradition might need to be toned down, might need to be tweaked to be more in line with Scripture, or even might need to be taken away. I get DMs all the time from people that say, we always did Santa. It's all I ever knew. We didn't even think about it, but we're feeling convicted to change now. What do we do? So if that's you, I'm just going to give you a very simple approach to how you could do this, especially if you have been a hardcore Santa quote unquote promoter or someone who's really gone into that myth with your children because it's so fun and you really like role playing and now you feel like you need to pull back. I don't think it needs to be complicated. I think you can come to your children, even the ones that you have absolutely told hardcore Santa is real and all of your presents come from him and all of the different myths associated with him, you have clung to them. I think you can come to them and say, hey, Mama and Daddy have told you that this is real because we wanted you to have a really good time at Christmas and we thought that this was part of what made Christmas really special. The thing is, this person was real historically, but the way that we have told you that he does things is more of a fun game that people play. But we feel like maybe we're not supposed to play that game anymore, that we're going to take the focus away from that and put it on Jesus, or we're going to pull back because we want you guys to trust us and we want you guys to believe us when we tell you for sure that something is true. So just know that, and listen, I'm going to step on toes again, but just know that you may need to apologize to your children. You may need to tell them, I'm sorry that I have insisted that this is real. Just know that I do tell you the truth, but I really wanted you to enjoy this experience. And so that's why I told you that that was true. But I am sorry that that part of it was a lie. And guys, it's so funny that I feel nervous modeling this for you because I absolutely believe that we should confess to our children when we have lied to them in other circumstances, or when we have perpetuated something and the Lord has convicted us of it, or when we have unintentionally lied by omission or intentionally lied by omission. And I will never back down from that. But I know this issue is so sensitive to people's hearts that saying that you should ask for forgiveness if the Lord convicts your heart to do so, there's going to be a lot of people that feel their toes stepped on. And while my goal is not to come around and stomp on your toes, I've already said that the goal here is not to make sure that other people align with my convictions. My encouragement to you is if you are in that convicted state, not to run from it and to say, Lord, give me the words, give me the humility, give me the pivot and the direction and the inspiration to do what you would have me do with Christmas going forward. Again, I'm not saying that every person who acknowledges Santa Claus or does it as a fun game for their children is doing so in a spirit of deceit or desire for their children to not focus on Jesus or anything like that. But I think the most important thing is to be discerning, to be biblical, and to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading. If you're doing those things, I guarantee you that, just like we've talked about, that when you ask for wisdom from the Lord, that He is faithful to give it and to give it without reproach. If you enjoy the MS for Mama podcast, I would be so honored if you would subscribe and follow along, maybe share with friends or even leave a review. And if you want more content on motherhood and biblical responses to cultural issues, be sure to follow along on Instagram at m.is.4.mama.